Oh, Gene, we're on Pennsylvania Avenue now. This is the direct route from the White House to the nation's capital, so the president going back and forth to work.
Marilyn Johnson, CEO of one of the most prestigious women's organizations in the world, the International Women's Forum, headquartered in Washington, D.C. Johnson grew up in the Kanawha Valley of West Virginia.
My earliest and fond memory of this was as a sixth grader at Vandalia Elementary School. I was selected to represent the patrol, the safety patrol troop, and march down Pennsylvania Avenue. That was probably my foray into leadership.
And I remember a former global executive for IBM, today Marilyn Johnson is one of the most high-profile African-American businesswomen in the country. And from the time she was a small child, Johnson, the middle of five children, had a fire in her belly to succeed. But being from an African-American family in the Kanawha Valley of the 1950s, there were certainly hurdles to overcome.
Being born in West Virginia in 1953 in South Charleston was truly an opportunity for me to grow up in an integrated environment. But my parents were smart enough to put me from Sunday school into kindergarten, where it was literally in the garage of a lady, a teacher, probably a retired teacher, because I remember Miss Catherine was older and very beautiful. And she taught me how to read, and she taught me my colors, and she taught me how to spell my name and write my name. That education I got through church and Miss Catherine's garage was Head Start before Head Start had a title. So I had confidence.
Despite that confidence, when she started first grade at Central Elementary School in St. Albans, many of the children didn't want to play with Marilyn. Indeed, they had been told not to play with her. So she set a strategy that she would define herself. They wouldn't.
If there was a spelling bee, I wanted to be one of the last ones standing. If we all had to go to the chalkboard to do math, I took my time to print neatly, check my work before they called on me to explain my problem and how. I wanted to excel, and I had educators that saw more in me, I think, than I saw in myself.
People like her fifth grade teacher, Miss Johnson.
Miss Johnson in the fifth grade really made me feel like I could soar. And I'll never forget just feeling comfortable in her presence. She never yelled, raised her voice. She wasn't an imposing personality. Quiet, smart, serene, and I wanted to be so much like her. And her name was Johnson, and maybe I'm related to her. I would daydream.
In junior high, Marilyn made the honor roll. She also excelled in sports and cheerleading.
Being the first Black cheerleader of South Charleston Junior High School was challenging because I had to befriend young women who had a whole different background than I did. But I remember Donna and Penny and Beth. I remember these young girls that treated me like I was from their neighborhood. They made me feel one of the core.
When Marilyn was nine, her parents divorced. Then, right before high school, she went to live with her grandmother and blind great-grandmother in Bell, West Virginia, to help out, and went to DuPont High School, where she was a cheerleader and vice president of her class. One teacher, Beverly Conklin, made a huge impression.
She was so compassionate and so understanding because she knew I was living with a grandmother helping take care of a great-grandmother and the responsibilities I had at home. She really was encouraging and supportive and predicted my success and even told me later, I always knew you would go far in this world. I'm so proud of you. For a teacher to tell you 20 years later that they saw in you what you're living, it brings tears to my eyes. So I'll never forget her. She was wonderful.
At Marshall, Marilyn Johnson was the head cheerleader in the years immediately following the 1970 plane crash disaster that killed more than 70 Thundering Herd players, coaches, and boosters. It was a somber time when the football team was rebuilding. She also became Miss Huntington, worked as the weekend weather girl at WSAZ-TV, and earned 2 master's degrees in education. But after teaching briefly in Cabell County, Johnson headed for California to interview with IBM.
I knew from the very first conversation with the very first manager at IBM that if I invested in my career the way I invested in my education in West Virginia, it was a meritocracy. The better performance that you delivered, the more opportunities that you would receive. And with that comes leadership, compensation, escalation, and success, defined by moving up that corporate ladder.
Which is exactly what Johnson did. Over a period of 35 years, while raising her 2 children, she went from showing customers how to use IBM business equipment to vice president in charge of developing IBM strategy for marketing to businesses that were owned by ethnically diverse people and women leaders around the world. In that role, she expanded IBM's market share significantly. When she retired in 2012, IBM had nearly 400,000 employees in more than 70 countries, and it remains an iconic leader in the IT industry.
My name is Denise Evans, and I am the Vice President for Women and Diversity Marketing at the IBM Corporation.
Denise Evans succeeded Marilyn Johnson at IBM. They worked together 8 years.
It was a great partnership. Marilyn is perpetually visionary. She's a lifelong learner. She really is inspirational. And I'm more the analytic, getting things done, operational kind of person. So it was just great working for her. She's always uplifting. Even when maybe giving constructive criticism is uplifting, she brings out the better side of you.
Johnson's position at IBM gave her the opportunity to serve on the boards of numerous business, professional, and civic organizations, both nationally and internationally. She took me to one that holds a special place in her heart.
We are now passing the National Council of Negro Women headquarters. This is the only building on Pennsylvania Avenue owned by African Americans. This building is dedicated to Dr. Dorothy Irene Hite. I served on her board proudly for 8.5 years, representing IBM as a corporate liaison and helping institutionalize this landmark.
Dorothy Hite and her mentor, Mary McLeod Bethune, championed the cause of African American women during the administrations of 13 presidents, from Roosevelt to Obama.
Dr. Dorothy Hite knew the importance of the presence of the voice of women of color on this avenue. So I worked with IBM and some executives there to help raise money to pay the mortgage off before her death, and we were successful in doing so. I'm still a member of the National Council of Negro Women. As we get to the edge of the building,
the road from Central Elementary School in St. Albans, West Virginia, to the top of an iconic IT company doesn't seem obvious. But in Marilyn's case, subtle pressure began at home.
The whole conversation at dinner was what happened in school today, and what did you learn, and where are you going to go to college? My father never asked us, are you going to college? His question was always, which one and why?
I'm Jack Johnson. I'm Marilyn Johnson's father, and I'm very proud of Marilyn.
There was an expectation of education.
There wasn't no expectation. It was a demand that you will go to college. You will achieve.
Why did you tell him that?
Because I believe strongly in education. That's the key to success. And evidently, Marilyn believed it. The others did, too, because they all went.
87-year-old Jack Johnson, a retired Army colonel, still lives in St. Albans. He remembers his young daughter as being impatient.
I remember telling her once, and she was a teenager, if you worked for me, I would fire you. She said, fire me? I said, yes. You heard of men being pushy, but when women are pushy, they're not acceptable. And you are pushy. But it was her nature. She wanted to climb each ladder.
when she was a youngster, when you told her she was a bit pushy, where did you think she would end up?
Not far, because opportunities were not great for blacks, especially black women. Black women, white and any other color, were restricted. Jobs weren't open to them. Never did I expect her to achieve as much as she has. Remember, when she was born, nobody got to be a vice president.
Here is a stack of magazines with your daughter on the cover.
It's Marilyn.
It's Marilyn.
It's Marilyn. Uh-huh. Sad story of this.
Marilyn's mother, 84-year-old Exa Madison, lives in Rand, West Virginia, and still works full-time at a restaurant on McCorkle Avenue in Kanawha City. We met right after her shift.
She was determined, always feeling that she had to fight her way because she had an older brother and sister. So she was always pushing to be, as she now likes to call herself, the middle child. She's always been aggressive. She's extremely intelligent, and anything that she sets her mind to pursue, she conquers.
Uh-huh. And that's been a pattern in her life.
Yes. Whatever mountain she sought to climb, she reached the peak.
But she never forgot her friends in West Virginia. Most of her closest friends today are those she met in grade school, like Marty Jackson Luke from Charleston.
Marilyn was always loyal. If I would tell her secrets, she would keep them. If I wanted her to help me with do something, she would. She was just always there for me.
Of all the things that Marilyn has done, of which there are a lot, of what are you the most proud?
That she didn't change as she went up the social economic scale. She stayed the same Marilyn that she's always been. A lot of people change, but she hasn't.
After her retirement from IBM, Marilyn Johnson continued her volunteer service to various business, civic, and arts organizations, as well as public speaking work. Then her career took a unique twist. She was pursued by the Wilhelmina Modeling Agency to become a mature model. Johnson appeared in numerous ads for national brands and did voiceovers for commercials. Then, in 2014, came the biggest challenge of Marilyn Johnson's career. She was invited to be the new chief executive officer of the International Women's Forum.
Our leadership development experience helps women in 33 countries, in 24 time zones, on 6 continents, find their voice, find their network, educate on expert topics, and raise their influence level around the world. These are very successful, high-achieving women. These women come together with a single purpose of sharing their power, their intellect, and their network, as well as their skills that they've amassed throughout their careers. There are 6,200 members currently connected through technology and then meeting face-to-face in conferences that are held around the world.
This global network of preeminent women leaders across all fields and professions not only comes together to help each other, but it also provides programs to develop future women leaders.
Marilyn Johnson's leadership style, first and foremost, is one of inclusiveness.
Chad Fleming, one of the managing directors of the International Women's Forum.
Watching her lead the International Women's Forum, it's very clear that she's mission-driven. She's a woman of integrity, tradition, but also of innovation. And I think that her growing up in West Virginia allowed her to really strengthen all of those traits.
My name is Heath Nash. I'm the managing director of the International Women's Forum and the Leadership Foundation. I think her most important contribution is raising the visibility of women in leadership. She's been really passionate and dedicated to the cause of women in leadership. And it's one that she lived at IBM in breaking barriers there and advancing in her career and being a role model within the IBM organization, and then carrying that forward with IWF.
Of course, another draw to take the new position in Washington, D.C. was that it brought Marilyn Johnson, the little girl from the Kanawha Valley, closer to home and family.
My parents are in their 80s. This makes it really convenient. I can be home in just a few hours. I can wake up and know that I can have lunch or dinner or both with my parents in West Virginia. So when I go home, I go to West Virginia. There is a true benefit to being from a place that wants you to succeed and wants you to represent the best of its values. And we're small enough as a state to claim and know each other, yet we're broad enough in talent and skill to touch the whole world.
For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jean Snediger.